Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to give you to the count of three to get your lousy, lying, low-down, four-flushing carcass out my door. One. Two. Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. And a Happy New Year.
You know what time it is. It's time for the Majority Decision, coming to you live from the great state of Texas, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to invite you to follow us on Twitter at MajorityMMA and like us on Facebook, The Majority Decision. It's good to be back with you on the air. And of course, we always want to ask you to please do subscribe to the show through iTunes or Podbean or Stitcher or whichever way you're listening to the show, or if it's through the good old Blog Talk Radio Network, you can subscribe to the show so that you get every new episode downloaded right to your device every time we do a new one. So go ahead and get that done, and if you like the show, let somebody know about it, man. Help us grow this thing. Hit it up on Twitter, hit it up on Facebook. Spread the word for us. We really appreciate it. And finally, Fayaz, another year is closing in, and it seems like every year just goes by faster and faster, man.
I'm telling you what, man.
I don't know if it's because we're getting old or what.
Man, I'd like not to think that's what it is, but I guess it's kind of what it is, but It's just flown by. It's flown by, and a lot of action, a lot of crazy stuff going on. And right now it is really cold outside, and I don't like it. I don't like it. So this is probably the time of the year that I least like because of the weather. The few days that we
Man, I have waited all year long for it to get this cold. And,
really?
So I'm excited. I would much rather be ice cold than breaking out in a full sweat just from walking from my house to my car.
Man, I don't know, man.
Which is typical for
Texas. Always been, yeah, you know, I've always been warm. I guess just the warm. I don't know, man. I just like being warm. I don't know what it is. I just like being warm. I'm weird that way. I'm not sure what it is, but. I would take sweat over freezing, I guess, if I had to pick one. So I don't know, kind of a strange deal.
Well, man, before we get into some more recent news, let's take a few steps back and catch up on some things that we didn't get to talk about. Mainly, just a couple of fights back on UFC 206, which was a couple of weeks ago, back on December 10th. Pretty solid co-main event between Cowboy Cerrone and Matt Brown. Cowboy gets the win with a very, very nice head kick that a friend and listener said that when he got hit, he almost thought that it broke his neck. It was just that brutal. I did not see the fight. Did you see it? And if you did, was the head kick that brutal?
It was... very reminiscent of Holly Holm, Ronda Rousey. If you can remember that head kick, it kind of came out almost of the same situation. You knew Matt Brown was coming to throw down. He likes to come forward. He likes to, you know, you just knew it was going to be that type of fight. I was excited for it, man. I couldn't wait to see it. And it lived up to every bit of what it was supposed to be. And it was awesome, man. It was awesome. I loved it. But when Matt Brown, you know, he kept getting rocked. He kept getting kicked. You know, it added up. And finally, when he got kicked in the face, I said, oh, man, I think he's dead. I was just amazed that he was, it looked really bad. It was really bad. It was so flush, and he went limp so fast, and his head hit the ground. It was just so bad, but a perfect ending to a perfect fight.
Yeah, two very tough guys. That's a Cowboys' fourth win in a row, fourth win of 2016, closing out a pretty solid year where he finished all four of his fights, had two head kick knockouts, a submission, and a TKO with the punches, and two performance of the night victories. Donald Cerrone continues to be probably one of the most entertaining fighters, just not be able to get over the hump and win a title.
Yeah, that is the truth. That is the truth. And I think I've even heard him say that. He's working on that. But I don't know that that's going to be at 170, man. I think he's going to have to drop back down. Right now the 170-pounders he's fighting, they're right around his size. You know, he's probably cutting 10 pounds to make the weight. You know, a lot of the bigger guys at 170, they're big guys. So, not to say that he wouldn't put up a good fight, but after a while, I think the size is gonna, play a factor.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, if you think of 170 and you don't think of a really big guy, but 170 that we know, normal people, right, is not cutting down from 170. It's the guy that walks around at 170. So when you start looking at the fight game, you're talking about somebody who's cutting down from 185, maybe even 195. You know, and Anthony Johnson was cutting from 220. So I mean, it's ridiculous.
I think GSP used to do that. I think GSP, would diet down, walking around 195 to get to 170,
yeah, you're right.
And then, cut
absolutely
the rest. So it's not like it's not out of the ordinary, but he's not going to find many natural guys, at his weight, like he is.
And I would like to see him go down to 155 because I'd like to see him at some point run into Conor McGregor, of course, because mixed martial arts or the UFC revolves around Conor McGregor. So the main event was Max Holloway, Anthony Pettis. Anthony Pettis misses weight, so his shot at the interim fake title gets taken away. Then it doesn't matter because he gets finished. Max Holloway looked tremendous. Anthony Pettis broke his hand in the first round, from what I understand. I did see that fight, but what can I say? Max Holloway got the job done, man. I thought he looked good.
I think Max Holloway looked awesome. It's too much weight for Pettis to cut. It's just too much. He even said that afterwards. He said, man, I can't do 145. It's too much. It's too much for my body. He got down within, I think, with a pound or 3 pounds, and he couldn't cut the rest. And, at a certain point, when you're a fighter and you're cutting weight, I guess you have to say at a certain point, enough is enough. Right? We've all seen the Cyborg video of her having to go through a weight cut just to make 140, I'm not saying Anthony Pettis went through that, but, it's probably pretty bad, when you get down to that point, and there's 3 more pounds to go, and it took everything you had just to get there. He should just go back up to 155, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's better suited for that. I think he probably just ran into a little discouragement there because he had a couple of losses in a row at 155. I think he can get back up there and rebound.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I don't know what it was to where he, you know, he fought. Well, he fought Oliveira. When he fought Oliveira, you know, all was well. You know, he made 146. But when you're fighting any type of a fight that has to do with a title, you have to make the weight. You don't get a pound. You don't get any anything like that. So
had to get it done. Speaking of weight, it's official. The UFC has finally given in, and women's 145-pound division is on its way.
That is true.
To a lot of fans' disappointment, there will be a title fight, the crown of featherweight champion, and Chris Cyborg will not be a part of that fight.
That is correct. She turned that fight down.
So
turned
you
it
get
down.
Two.
Yeah, she turned it. Well, her and if anybody doesn't know, and I don't know how you'd get a replay of it, but it was on ESPN's Outside the Lines. There was a little clip about weight cutting and just a little piece on Chris Cyborg this morning. And, you know, it was a good little piece, gave some insight, you know, as to what she has to go through just to get to 140 pounds. And her weight class is 145. And then they finally opened up 145, and then she said her body was still recovering from dehydrating to get to 140 the last time. So which, I mean, if you've seen what she had to go through to make that 140, you could almost believe that. But I don't think she's done. I think whoever wins that title, right, she's just going to challenge for it, you know, just, I don't know, later in the year, as opposed to, you know, February, maybe in April or May fight, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely see that happening. And most likely, obviously, it's probably going to be Holly Holm, you know, all respect to Germania. But I think that's how you pronounce her name. But I assume that Holly's going to win that fight.
Yeah, you know, even Tito said it. You know, I was watching an interview Brendan Shaw did with him, and even Tito said it. Tito said, "I don't understand why she turned that fight down. She lobbied for it. She fought for it. She made a big thing about it, and they finally gave her what she wanted, and then she said no." So even he couldn't figure it out, but he said, "Hey, you know what? I can't do anything but support her." So it is what it is.
You know, I think it was a smart business move. I think here's why. If she didn't feel, I mean, obviously the physical aspect had a lot to do with it. If she sincerely felt like she couldn't recover in time and then cut again and do it in a way that she could be prepared for Holly Holm, because I know what she did. She for sure don't want to be the lady that screamed and cried for 145 for years, then got it, and then got beat. So,
right.
You know, I think from her point of view, waiting, does it make a difference? I mean, are we...
No.
Holly Holm's a tough lady, but
yeah,
it's hard to see any other outcome than Cyborg winning any fight with any woman.
Right. Right. I don't see it, but I would think that there's probably more women in her weight class that, you know, than there are 45. You know what I mean? I mean, eventually they're going to have to open up, you know, 105 and 125 for women, because you got a lot of women that are too small fighting at bantamweight, and you know, or too small fighting at 50, at the 115. So it's there has to be that type of – I would think there would have to be that type of a category, because, you know, some of the women do get, you know, kind of small. And you've also got a lot of fighters women fighters that we don't really get to see unless they fight in off shows in, like, Japan, because there aren't the heavier weight classes. So I'm kind of excited about it.
Well, I think that perhaps – because to me the glaring one, obviously – you do featherweight because you have Cyborg. She's a star, or could be a star for sure if the UFC machine got behind her. But when you talk about 125 to me is probably a more important weight class than 145. But do think that adding 125 would put strawweight and bantamweight in danger of being diluted?
No.
Where you got those in between ladies that say, okay, I'm gonna move weight class.
Well, I think you've kind of already got that, right?
Yeah.
And that's Michelle Waterson, who beat Paige VanZant last night, was the atomweight champion at Invicta. Atomweight is 105 pounds, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And Michelle Waterson, fought at 115. On Saturday night. So if that goes to show you anything, it's just there's such a fluctuation there in weight. That 10 pounds makes a difference. I mean, Ronda Rousey was, tossing people left and right. So she finally met somebody who was her size or bigger, and then it posed a problem to her. So, that's what that is, man. That's how that deal works, right? You always want to try to be the biggest person in your weight class.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about that. Seeing Paige VanZant and Michelle Waterson fight the other night, I think it's safe to say that Paige VanZant is overrated, or was Michelle Waterson underrated?
That is a great question. For people who don't know who Michelle Waterson is, I guess I don't know how to explain it. I've known who she is for a long time. I've known who she is for a long time. If you're a long time follower of the sport, you know who she is. And you know that she's been a martial artist since she was five, and you know that she's got the skills to back a lot of what she says up, And I had a feeling that it wasn't going to be Paige's night, but I didn't want to spoil anybody's fun. But with Paige VanZant, I think they shot her too quick, too fast, and if you watch her, she's very, she's crafty. She's got great skills. She does improve every time. But if you notice something, man, every time she finds somebody who's better at her, who's a better technician than her, and who's a better ground fighter than her, she tends to lose.
She still strikes me as a bit of a brawler, I guess.
Yeah.
So she's added some technique. She's getting better, but she still just kind of strikes me as a bit of a brawler. And I think to answer my own question, I think Michelle Waterson of the UFC is probably hugely underrated.
Underrated.
And,
sure.
And Paige VanZant was probably not. I wouldn't say hugely overrated, but probably a bit overrated. Which brings me to my next topic or question to throw at you. And that is, did they do Uriah Faber an injustice by not putting him on last? In his hometown for his last fight.
No, I don't think so. It wasn't like he was fighting for a title or anything like that. The guy's been around for years. And, I'm sure in Uriah's eyes, that's one of his people, right? Fighting in the main event. So to him, that's like,
yeah, that's true.
I would think that sincerely, that's the way he kind of thinks about it. Like, hey, I'm retiring tonight, but look, man, look what I've built. And that's one of the people that, I train that's in the main event. So that's pretty awesome, So it's kind of like, yeah, I'm retiring, but, you know, I do leave something behind.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. So Faber gets Brad Pickett and dominates the fight pretty much. I thought fight should have been stopped in the first round. Did you think that the referee? I think the referee let it go. I thought the fight should have been ended in the first round. I'm glad that
that's
three rounds, but
yeah, he hit. Well, it was weird. He hit Brad Pickett, and Brad Pickett went limp, went down, and looked lost in space for about 5 seconds there. Uriah Faber actually went to finish and stopped. I don't know if anybody saw that. He hesitated for a second. I guess like he thought they were going to call the fight because, you know, him and Pickett, they don't really have bad blood or anything. And when they didn't call the fight, then he kept going. It was weird. That's what I saw. I saw a split second stop when he went in for the kill. Like he thought, like he saw something like, man, this deal's over, man. This fight's over, you know? Yeah, but that's what I thought too. But you know, Pickett.
Well, for me,
all the
even
props
beyond
that guy,
that,
but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like at one point Faber kind of had in you know side mount on his back, right, and Pickett was kind of turtling, not really, but just eating a lot of shots. And
yeah,
man,
I do
like,
remember
man,
that.
To me. It seems like they need to stop the fight because he's not even able to cover himself up. I think
they do that for certain fighters.
Yeah.
Brad Pickett being one of them just because he's a tough dude. I mean, he's just one of those resilient guys that you've seen come back out of a mess like that. And that's probably why they let it go like that. But, they probably wouldn't do it. They probably wouldn't do that for your average. If that was somebody else that went down like that, they probably would have stopped the fight.
Co-main event of the night for that card, Mickey Gall and Super Sage Northcutt. Mickey Gall's highlight film. No, let me say it. Let me start over. CM Punk is Mickey Gall's highlight film.
Well, only in the UFC.
Which I thought was a little funny.
Yeah. If what they should have done is bought the rights to some of his fights outside the UFC and you know, played a little bit of that.
I mean, I guess they could have thrown some amateur stuff up there, but I mean, the guy's only
That wasn't Mickey Gall's first professional fight. He's like, I think he was
3-1
or something coming into the UFC. So it wasn't like that was his first fight.
Well, he's 3-1
but,
now.
Yeah, so he was 2-1. Yeah.
I take that
going
back.
Into 4-0. The UFC.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Not 3-1. Where did I get that? 4-0. So it went over stage for his fourth win. Yeah.
Right.
3-0 in UFC.
Yeah, that's what it was. So, so really, it was perfect. But you know what, man? Mickey Gall might be right. I don't think Sage Northcutt likes getting punched in the face.
Well, man, I don't know. I felt like if the fight could have stayed standing a little bit longer, maybe Sage could have felt them out a little bit better than what he did. But honestly, the fight went exactly how I thought it was going to go. Mickey Gall was going to get it to the ground, and that was going to be it. And it was only a matter of time, right? I mean, I know the finish came because he caught him and knocked him down with a punch.
Yeah.
But just let's be honest, Gall controlled the fight on the ground anytime he went close to there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, Sage looked like he had the advantage. He was starting to find some rhythm standing up, right? But let's call it what it is, man. It's mixed martial arts, right? It's not kickboxing. It's mixed martial arts. It's not cage Muay Thai. It's not kickboxing. It's mixed martial arts. And if you get clipped and you go down, more than likely, if the other guy's good at jiu-jitsu, he's going to pounce on you and see what he can do. And I mean, he was just completely controlled on the ground, and then and he got caught. So, you know, it was the co-main event and the main event for me. And, you know, the two people that, you know, they're pushing to become superstars. It's like, you know, these people need to be more complete. They need to be more complete fighters, right? Because that's the second time Sage has tapped to a ground technique. You know, it happens. Obviously, it happens. And that's the second time, you know, Paige has been dominated on the ground also. So, moral of the story, right? Complete your set and learn jiu-jitsu. That's the moral of the story for those guys.
Well, look, you know, looking at Sage Northcutt's accomplishments, it says he's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, obviously, I don't know. But, I mean,
I don't know either.
Belt,
he may
wow.
be. He may be, and maybe he was just so rough, he just didn't know where he was, but he didn't defend it very well. And he didn't look at all comfortable at any point anywhere on the ground with Mickey Gall. So it's, you know, I don't know if he is a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. He may be a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, but if you don't train the jiu-jitsu as much as you train all the other stuff, it's not going to be useful for you. It's not going to be useful for you in a fight because you're really not going to know how to make, you know, mix it all up. That's why I was shocked when Paige Van Zandt lost, because she actually trains with guys who mix that up really well, ground and striking.
Yeah. But back to your point about the two people that are getting the marketing machine behind them, getting the push. You know, again, it just seems like you got these two guys, and the good news for all four involved is, well, I'm not sure how old Michelle Watterson is, but she's not too old. She's probably in her late 20s,
she's like,
I guess.
Yeah, she's probably like 27, 28, something like that.
Even though she's, you know, she's been fighting for several years, but the other three haven't.
Yeah.
And these losses here, these are just stepping stones for them, and hopefully they can continue to get better and continue to add to that game. But, you know, again, it's something that we talk about all the time. You got to round it out.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that, your future is, and unless you're Damian Maia, your future is very limited in the UFC.
Well, I don't know if you look at Damian Maia, though. Damian Maia did learn how to box.
And he
has.
And that's very true.
He has. He has improved that part of his game, because I think he figured that out after a few fights. But it's vice versa. And if you're just a straight grappler, it's not going to last. And if you're just a stand-up guy, it's not going to last. You've got to know how to do and attack it both to give yourself a chance to exercise your best strength. I think that's, you know, that's the easiest way I can explain it.
Well, that's going to just about wrap it up for this edition of the Majority Decision. Any closing thoughts, Bayless?
My closing thoughts are, we got a big fight coming up here pretty soon. And as much as I'd like to see Ronda Rousey retain, I just feel like Amanda Nunes gets it done. Chew on some of that.
Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me at all. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
I'm feeling good.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. Hope everybody has a great week. Hope everybody's getting ready for Christmas. And everybody has a safe holiday. We'll see you next time.